Welcome to Orchestrated, a Musio podcast where we discuss the past, present, and future of music creation to explore exactly what it means to be a musician in the modern era. I'm Chris Hazel, and this week on the pod, we're kind of branching out a little bit. So far, we've kind of stuck to the corner of music that we know, and we've talked about navigating a career in the world of music for television, movies, and video games, and we've talked to some of the industry's leading creators. But that's only one very specific avenue toward a career in music. And the truth is, these days there are so many ways for a musician to build a sustainable creative life, many of which require nothing more than some gear, curiosity, skills, and the internet. So on today's episode, we're diving into one of the top platforms for music creators, YouTube. Hundreds of millions of people with every interest you could imagine visit YouTube every day. And if you're a music creator looking for your audience, there's almost no better place to find them. But as with anything else, the platform comes with its own challenges, its own strategies, and its own potential pitfalls. So to guide us through approaching YouTube with the right mindset, we're joined by electronic music producer and YouTube creator, Tatro. Since around 2014, Tatro has been using YouTube as the main platform to launch his music career. And in that time, he's developed a large and highly engaged musical community, a life sustained by his creativity, and most importantly, a unique and incredibly applicable perspective on what it means to be a music creator in today's increasingly online world. And honestly, even though his insights are in the context of YouTube content creation, they're pretty universally valuable to just about any creative in any medium on any trajectory. So I'm really excited for you guys to listen. Real quick before we jump in, if you have any questions, comments, feedback, or you just want to drop us a line, you can email us at orchestrated@musio.com. If you're a music creator and you're looking for amazing sounds, head over to musio.com to get a huge collection of some of the world's best virtual instruments, completely free for 30 days. And lastly, if you like this conversation and you want to hear more like it, please don't forget to rate, review, like, subscribe, share, follow, you know, all of that stuff. We really enjoy being able to share these valuable conversations with music creators like you. And the more positive feedback the old algorithm gets, the more music creators it'll share the pod with. So, without further delay, let's talk YouTube music creation with Tatro.
Is my mic level okay and everything?
Yeah, everything perfect. Sounds good.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I'm a little concerned about mine because my mic is at a weird angle because my mic stand broke, and so it's taped, literally taped together. So I think this is just a sign that I need to get an SM7B.
I think so. Yes, we'll pretend you have one. We won't tell
anybody.
There
we go. Yeah, it's off camera, so you know, yeah. It's okay.
He's got the 7B.
And he's using a windscreen for it.
Yeah. Exactly. Double protection.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm stoked for this.
One of the reasons why we wanted to have you on is because I feel like we share a common goal, right? We want to like inspire music creators and give them information and tools and things like that to sort of help them navigate their creative vision. It used to be that, you know, the options for musicians were pretty limited, right? Like you had a handful of routes that you could take in terms of having a music career. You could go to school and learn that way, or you could, you know, be a session player, or you could do the artist thing and grind it out and like hope something happens. But in today's like online world, there are so many more options out there that I think aren't necessarily maybe the most obvious ones that come to mind when someone starts out.
For sure.
Streaming platforms and social media and live streaming, there are just so many routes that a musician can take in terms of making a living.
Absolutely. It's like I say, it's like one of the best times to be alive to be an artist. Of course, with all of this like added opportunity and added ways of getting your stuff out there or making it as an artist, there come more ways of exploitation or being able to get exploited as an artist. But there are definitely so many more pathways for an artist today to like, not like we say make a living, but just sustain the work, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And one of those is one of those main ways is YouTube.
For sure.
Right. So
definitely.
that's why we wanted to bring you in, because you've been able to build a community and a career using that platform. I mean, I think I checked it out. You have 320,000 subscribers.
on YouTube. Yeah, I don't look at that number anymore. That's like a subscribers is like such a vanity metric.
Sure.
I care about the people who are like coming back to every video and like cheering me on during a live stream or whatever. So I know everybody sees those big numbers and they think like, oh, that means something. But in reality, like it doesn't change. Like we know how algorithms work. Doesn't matter if I have 300,000 or a million subscribers, the algorithm's going to choose to show my videos to however many people it decides to show them to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I've been doing this for a long time. So over the course of that journey, made different genres of videos and, you know, shared my work as an artist, but also shared the ways I make the work as an artist. You know, I want to teach as well. So it's been a great platform to be on. And I do feel like I want to continuously scream about it to every artist or every person who's just starting, like, hey, like you're going to be making stuff, just document the journey, share what you learn, share it on YouTube, because like there's a clear pathway for monetization, like a way to actually sustain your work if you grow a decent sized community. So it's really worked out. It's taken many different shapes and forms over the past few years, but I've been doing it for a while, so I guess that says something about the platform.
Well, I want to know more about that journey for you. So like how long have you been doing YouTube, just to kick it off?
That's a good question. I would say it's hard to say like when I started, because I mean, YouTube, you guys probably remember back in the day, you just used to upload stuff to YouTube. It wasn't this like thing where people went for content every single day. It was more like a video hosting site or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, by the time I was finishing college, I was a music major in college, and I had been doing these electronic music performances with different MIDI controllers and Ableton Live. And my senior recital had this performance of a track called Rain, but the video of my actual recital didn't come out that great. So I went back home after that and shot a video of doing the same performance again, and I uploaded that to YouTube, and that was my first YouTube video on the Tetro channel in 2014, I think. I think it was like just after graduation. So like it just became like a repository for performances for a little bit. I crafted some more performances, and I would post them. And then I kind of left it alone for a bit. I kind of got into my teaching career, like teaching as a music director in different nonprofits and after school programs. And then at some point during that journey, I was working with all these young people who were like making great music, like teens that are just like phenomenally talented. And we had like studios that they could make their own music in. And that was like super inspiring for me. And I was like, man, I need to get back on my artist stuff. Like I need to like make sure I have my own pathway for, you know, a creative outlet. So I went back to the YouTube channel and I realized that, yes, I could keep making performances. I definitely want to do that. But a lot of people are asking me questions, like actually asking me, like, how did you do this? What gear did you use? How did you route it all? That kind of thing. So that kind of probably in 2016, like, is when I started like doing YouTube, quote unquote. That's when I started, you know, not just doing the performances, but also doing the tutorials, experimenting with live streaming, all those things. And it's always been a blend of, I want to share my work, I want to share like my performances, my music, etc. And then I also want to answer all the questions. I want to share with you how I did this, to just make it easier for people, because it used to be super frustrating. You would see these amazing performances online and you'd have no idea how to accomplish it unless you were like pausing and then reverse engineering. Oh, they showed the laptop screen for like a second. Pause, zoom in, super blurry. That kind of vibe. So that was always a thorn in my side when I was trying to learn these things. So I just always want to be sharing what I know.
What was that like for you? Because I remember, I can relate to that entire trajectory in so many ways, right? Like YouTube for me for like 10 years was just a repository for like performances or music videos or things like that. What was it like for you to make that shift in your mind to being like, okay, I'm going to do the YouTube thing? And what were some of the challenges that you encountered when trying to make that shift?
I think the thing that I realized was, well, look, anybody can upload stuff to the internet. Like anybody can make a SoundCloud account. Anybody can, you know, upload a video to YouTube. The difference that I started to see was super community driven stuff. And then I would see returning names, like people returning to my channel you know, coming back after watching some videos, and like I started to realize, oh, there's like a bit of a community forming here. So I thought that that was way more powerful, you know, as an artist, when I thought about what I enjoyed doing. The main thing, even still today, that I enjoy doing as an artist is making the music, like the literal process of making the music.
Yeah.
And I think so far, if we want to talk about a time to be alive as an artist, I can't think of another time in history where that part of the creative process was like monetizable. You know, like you're right, either like making the track to sell or to, you know, put out and, you know, market around. And then you're either going out and touring, which obviously like generates revenue. You're selling merch, etc. Like live performance, even though I love filming live performances, I don't always love like going out and performing live. But if I can do it from the comfort of my own home and make a video out of it, that sort of thing, it's really cool. So I was just trying to align with like, hey, if I want to be this independent artist and this is the thing that I really, really enjoy, then YouTube's the perfect spot for it. I can form community around what I'm doing. I never have to leave my house if I don't want to. And I can actually monetize the part of the process that I love. Like the, let me show you how I'm making this track. Let me document the process of making this track. At the end of the day, if I finish a track and I like it, great. I'll put it out. I hope other people enjoy it. I hope the audience engages with it. But like right now, actually today, I just released a single. And then next month, I will release an album. And I got to say that this process of releasing this stuff is my least favorite part of the process. It's such a different thing. Like it's an analytical process. It's a very like fine detail oriented process.
Yeah.
And of course it's like, it's part of being an artist. Like you want to finish the work. You want to give it to the audience so they can complete the work, but it's nowhere near the same as the creative flow and the passion that I feel when I'm just sitting down making new stuff.
That brings up a really interesting point about how the process, showing the process of creating music and having YouTube be like the kind of the first way that that was really done for the masses. In order to, prior to that, if you wanted to see how that sausage was being made, you had to have a connection at a studio and get them to let you into a recording session or a production session. And before that, it was if you wanted to hear an orchestra rehearsing or a band rehearsing, you had to know someone in the band and go and sit in and listen to the jam session. And for the longest time, the commodity of the product that was music was such a mystery to people. Yes. The same way that a lot of like paintings and films and other pieces of art that are not shown until they are published, and you don't really get that opportunity to see what the creative process was like. And so it became this out of reach thing. And I think one of the reasons that the number of music creators and other creative individuals in the world is growing. Well, first of all, I think everyone's creative. I think it came, you know, your creativity came free with your humanity, but it also is something that more and more people are identifying their need to do stuff creatively. And they're seeing more and more, oh, this is possible. I can go and I can learn how to do this, whether it's woodworking and building your own tables or making electronic music or composing for video games or learning how to play your favorite songs on piano, all these
just for fun,
just to go to an open mic night or to sit in your room and be the only one who ever knows about it.
My father has been teaching himself how to play piano for the past few years, and it's just like, it's purely a hobby for him, purely just a thing he can do on his own. And I think part of the reason he's able to do that is he's able to, you know, engage on the internet. I don't even know who he watches or like where he gets most of the stuff. But yeah, exactly what you said. Like arts, they can have a mystification about them. And that's okay if you purely want to be a consumer of the art and you don't care how the sausage is made and you just want to enjoy it. Of course, I think there's levels of, well, sometimes my brain is like constantly trying to deconstruct like everything that I'm consuming, but not everybody has that brain. So it's okay for that mystery to be there. But just like you said, demystifying it for the people who think, huh, I want to do that. Like we live in a time now where like I took up painting as a hobby, like watercolor painting, and I can watch so many classes online for free and like get to be like a pretty moderate amateur at painting. Like that's awesome. So on the flip side of that, if you're an artist out there, I think just sharing what you know with people is a, it makes our world better. I say more artists, better world. So yeah. I could be an artist that just like hides everything and only releases the music and doesn't talk about, you know, tries to gatekeep. And I really want to combat against that though. I think like we shouldn't be gatekeeping. We should be sharing. Like there's young people out there. There's older people out there who want to be able to do things and enrich their lives in some form of right. art. And, you know, us as artists, let's make it easy for people to do that.
Yeah. Well, and it's also the piece about too, when you see the finished product, when that's all you see, you don't understand the right. the work and the years of exploration that goes into that finished product, right? And so like, you know, yes, people can look up and see how to do things, but they also get an understanding of the fact that like, if this is something that you want to do, it's something this that you're going to put time into.
Yes.
Yeah. And I feel like it's really easy for people to get discouraged if they're just seeing like the best of your work that you have to totally. Offer.
And you get people believing.